We've all heard it before. It's who you know. Now hear why it's so true. Welcome to Social Capital, a weekly podcast where we dive into social relationships and how the investment you put into them establishes trust, reciprocity, and value within your network and community. Your host, Lori Hybe, will connect with top professionals and dive into their best networking stories and techniques to share with you.
Everybody, Lori Hybe here. Welcome to the Social Capital Podcast. Our show notes are found at socialcapitalpodcast.com. You can also follow me on Twitter at LJ Hybe and on Facebook. This week's guest, Stephen Weissner. Stephen is CEO of Predictive ROI and the host of Onward Nation, a top-rated daily podcast for learning how today's top business owners think, act, and achieve. Since the advent of the commercial internet, Stephen has collected tens of thousands of data points that have given him the ability to identify what he calls the 8 money-draining mistakes and the 8 money-making opportunities. Darren Hardy, then publisher of Success Magazine, interviewed Stephen to discuss how business owners can identify and fix these mistakes. Stephen is the author of 3 books, with his latest entitled Profitable Podcasting. His digital marketing insights have been featured in Forbes.com, Entrepreneur.com, The Washington Post, and Inc. Magazine. Stephen, welcome to the show.
Hey, Lori, thanks very much for the invitation. It's a pleasure to be here and really looking forward to the conversation.
So am I. So you have a podcast and now you've written a book about podcasting, and not just anything related to podcasting, but making it profitable. Let's talk about that.
Well, it's really interesting, because at least it is to us and, you know, within Onward Nation and in our core business, Predictive ROI. We never launched Onward Nation because we thought it was going to turn into a book or that it was going to be this big business development kind of strategy for us, but it just kind of happened that way. And you know, one day I'm interviewing Wendy Keller, who's just a consummate, incredible literary agent, for episode 116 of Onward Nation. And afterwards she said to me, she goes, "So why am I in this?" And I'm like, you know, I wasn't really tracking with her. I said, "Doing what?" And she's like, "Why are you doing this podcast?" And I said, "Oh, because I think I'm going to, you know, take the top one and distill it down into like this leadership book." And she's like, "Oh my gosh, no, that's not the book." And I'm like, "It's not the book." And she goes, "No, that's not the book you need to write." I'm like, "Okay, what's the book I need to write?" And then I can hear her like pounding on her keys and accessing like secret Amazon data that most of the world doesn't have access to. And she's like, "You need to write a book about like how small businesses can use podcasting to like grow their business." And I'm like, "That sounds awesome." And then she said, she goes, "Well, I could totally sell that book to a publisher." And I said, "Okay." And like 3-4 months later, true to her word, I followed her proposal template that she gave me. And I was a great student. I did exactly what she said to do. And she sold it. She sold it to, you know, a publisher. Their name is Amacom, and they're awesome. They're the publishing arm of the American Management Association. And it comes out mid-September. The Audible rights have already been sold. And I mean, so she's awesome. So I would have never imagined how a podcast could, one, turn into a book deal, and how, if you're really smart about it, how you could create a profitable podcast that essentially acts like the Trojan horse of sales on the out in front of your core business. But that's exactly what happened to us.
And you didn't even know it.
Yeah. I mean, I had no idea. I mean, it was, you know, we wanted to do something fun and interesting. And even though, you know, Predictive ROI, my core business, is, you know, content marketing elite, ironically, we were struggling generating leads for our own business. And we just weren't putting the right, you know, emphasis on, you know, our own stuff. And we, as agency owners, we had to deal with the whole cobbler's kids have no shoes kind of thing. And so even though we did it with excellence for clients, we really, quite frankly, were terrible at it for ourselves. So we created a podcast thinking, oh, you know what, if we put a podcast out into the universe, then all of a sudden we're going to get so busy and they're just going to love us. Well, that's not much of a strategy. But you know what? It was interesting. Within 4 weeks of having our podcast out, you know, one of our guests came back to us and said, "Hey, could you do that for me?" And I'm like, "Do one for you." And he's like, "Geez, could you build me a podcast, dummy?" And I said, like any great entrepreneur would say, yes, we can. You bet we can. So we did. And then it kind of took off after that.
That's fantastic. So one of the things that always impresses me in your show is you do a really good job of referencing other podcast episodes. And I'm curious, what is your little secret to that?
So my little cheat secret to that is I have, in front of me, I have my airing schedule. You know, we've done almost 500 episodes, right? And so I have my airing schedule on my screen. And as my guest is saying, you know, something about leadership or saying something about, you know, the way the mind works or saying something about biz dev or generating leads or something like that, I'm actually scrolling through my airing schedule. I'm listening very attentively to keywords that guest is saying. And then I'm scrolling through my airing schedule and I'm like, "Oh, wow. That's just like what Shelley, you know, Davidescu said about, you know, cognitive, you know, whatever." And then I'll say, I'll say that. I'm like, "Wow, you know what, Lori, that reminds me exactly like what Shelley Davidescu said in episode blah, blah." And then, you know, some people will say, "How in the world does he do that?" Well, that's how I do it.
Very nice. It's smart and easy, and there's actually not anything secret. I thought maybe you had a great memory or something.
Well, and there also is a bit of a trick too, and you've probably heard me do this. I tend to kind of repeat some of them over and over again.
Sure.
And I do that, one, because they're outstanding guests, and two, because they tend to be kind of top of mind after a while. Yeah, I'm sort of kind of cheating along the way. I'm listening very, very intently to what the game, you know, in my ears. And then I'm scrolling through the show list and sort of doing that on the fly.
Nice. So switching off the topic of podcasting and moving to your 8 money draining mistakes and the 8 money making opportunities, let's just pick one. Which one is your favorite and kind of the most impactful and jaw-dropping mistake or opportunity?
Well, I think it's probably, well, there's a couple on you know, both sides of sort of the list that are the most impactful. But let's start with like money draining mistake number one. And they all sort of kind of build from here. And I know that this might sound maybe a little bit basic to your listeners, but it's critically important. And so money draining mistake number one is the lack of baselines and what we like to call SMART predictives. And SMART stands for specific, measurable, attainable, relevant, and time sensitive. Very common acronym is about goal setting and so forth. But so money draining mistake number one is SMART predictives, or predicting where it is that you want to go. And the reason why we put that as number one, when Darren Hardy from Success Magazine, when he and I constructed this list, the reason why we put it as number one is because most business owners, and I'm not trying to speak disparagingly about business owners, I love my fellow business owners, and I've owned 5, and I've had the great fortune of interviewing some really amazing business owners. But the typical small business owner in this country aimlessly wanders through the wilderness. And they don't know where it is that they actually want to be going. They don't have a sales plan. They don't have a business plan. They don't know by how much revenue they need to generate in this quarter, by how much profit, what those percentages, what those ratios. And Lori, I know that how you run your business and how you structure things based on ratios, and you're very systematic like that. Mm-hmm. That's not typical. That is not typical. And so most business owners aimlessly wander through the wilderness. And so the lack of baselines and SMART predictives is about understanding the 4 or 5 or 6 vital metrics that drive their business, like increasing unique visitors from X period of time and from X amount to Y amount over X period of time, the increasing the conversion rate of those unique visitors into, let's say, email opt-ins, increasing email opt-ins as a percentage, a conversion rate from opt-in into, hey, I would like to have a meeting or a proposal. And then that conversion rate of proposal into a closed sale, and then total revenue. And most business owners don't know what funnel is from top to bottom. And so being very, very clear in gathering the right data to first understand the baselines, and then understanding where they need to be a quarter or 12 months or 36 months, so they have a semblance of a plan. All the tactical stuff, how to make that happen, you know, deliver on that, happens downstream. But first, they need to be able to understand and articulate where it is they want to go with the business. And if they can't, how in the world are you going to know when you get there? So that's money draining mistake number one, the lack of baselines of smart predictives.
And I love that, because it's right in line with Jim Rohn's 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. Start with the end in mind. And that's just something I've been preaching to clients and students nonstop recently. And that's really what it comes down to, is you need to know what you're shooting for, right?
Right. Habit number two, begin with the end in mind, like you said, from 7 Habits, it's masterful. It's a great book. It's one of my favorite books. I read it in 1997. I'm looking at it on my bookshelf for 1997. Changed my life. It's required reading for all of our teammates here at Predictive ROI, because it's exceptional.
I couldn't agree more with you. All right, Steven, let's talk about some networking.
Okay.
Can you share with me your most successful or favorite networking experience that you've had?
Gosh. Can I give you two?
Sure.
The definition of the impossible guest, right? Anyway. Kind of biased, because, you know, you and I have the good fortune of being in a group that we affectionately call Velocity in the Agency Management Institute. And, you know, 12 agency owners, and obviously you know this because you were my teammate in Velocity, so this is obviously not new to you, but it might be new to your listeners. And the fact that we get together every, you know, 6 months or so, 2 times a year, and really go deep. So is it networking? The very first time that we got together, you know, we're most of us, you know, maybe casually knew each other. We met once before, like in a meeting and this and that. We didn't really, quote unquote, know one another, right? We sort of knew the surface, but we didn't really know each other at an intimate level. And in my opinion, the networking is not about passing out business cards and shaking hands and, you know, drinking coffee or some sort of mixed drink at 5 o'clock at a chamber mirror. That's not business. You need to find a group of people like I have in Velocity, like I have with Lori and our other Velocity mates, where we go super, super deep. We look at financials. We talk about challenges. We talk about great things. Sometimes we cry on each other's shoulders. Sometimes we freaking high five with one another. And that is awesome. That is a networking experience. When you can get super deep with somebody and be able to share what's going on in your business, that's the type of stuff, that's the type of group that really, really moves your business forward. So that's the first one. And the second one is, like, start a podcast. It isn't because I won't buy my book. Start a podcast because out with some of the most amazing, awesome, interesting, really cool people in your industry and be able to learn from those people. How can you not get smarter in that process? Being able to, you know, spend hours with people that you admire, people who have mentored you from a distance, to hang out with and learn from. And now you're going to be able to learn from them sort of in person through a podcast interview. That is an incredible network opportunity. I've done almost 500 interviews with some of the coolest people on the planet. I mean, now I have a platinum Rolodex because of those types of contacts. And it isn't because I'm sort of like specially gifted in that area. It isn't. I had a very, very small network to start it. But starting it and not being afraid to do it can have an incredible impact on any business owner. So I would encourage you, start a podcast, build your network that way. And two, find a group like I have with Lori. Find a group with people in your industry that provides you with an opportunity to go super, super deep, and it'll be a game changer for you.
Oh, I am just like raising my hands in the air, screaming amen, because I think everything you're saying, I just agree with so much. Because I absolutely love the group that we're in. You know, it's just fantastic. You just learn so much being around and building relationships. I mean, we've been in this group for what, 4 years now, I want to say. And I mean, we are like brothers and sisters, and it's just fantastic. And I second the podcast. I mean, I went in doing this just kind of thinking I'm going to do it and, you know, we'll see what happens, but I love it. I just think it has far exceeded my expectations, and I couldn't agree more how much I love the conversations I'm having with all these fascinating people out there.
Yeah. And, you know, my guests will ask me that too. Like, why are you doing this and this and that? And we'll talk about the business to it, but then I'll say, like, I would do this podcast, I would do Onward Nation, Lori, even if nobody listened. like if we had zero listeners, right? We had zero listener email subscribers, I would still do it because, you know, on Tuesdays when I do like 7 or 8 interviews and I get to hang out with these amazing, awesome, incredible people, sometimes I'm standing there listening to this wisdom like coming into my ears and I'm like, and I'm speechless. I don't even know what to say. And I feel like totally inadequate to even be part of that conversation. And then when it's over, I'm like, what in the world was that? And at the end of that day, I feel like I just went to 7 or 8 hours of the best education on the planet. That is awesome.
It is. It's really fantastic. All right. So now you've built this network, right? You've got close to 500 people just in your podcast community alone. I know you have a way more extensive network than that, but what do you do to stay in front of or nurture your network or your community?
Well, great question. And so we do a few different things. And so let's think about like kind of concentric circles first, and then we'll come to the guests, because our guests are like, they're like on the inner circle. They're like our true fans, our nation of true fans. And not that we don't share the love outside of that, because we certainly do. But so we pay very, very close attention to our LinkedIn community, which continues to grow every single day. And so on average, we're getting between maybe 400 to 500, maybe it's a little bit more than that, new connections on LinkedIn every month. And we nurture and add value to that community through daily posts about the podcast, things that we learned and this and that. And then every week I go deep with an article that I publish out on LinkedIn through LinkedIn Pulse, which is essentially my solo cast for the week. We turned it into like a blog form and we put it out there, you know, for our LinkedIn community to, you know, offer up feedback. But, you know, our solo casts are deep training, right? So it's like full transparency, step-by-step, everything. And so we're nurturing our LinkedIn community in that way. Twitter, we're sending out a new piece of wisdom from one of our guests and then a link to the episode. We do that every 42 minutes, 24 hours a day. And so we take each episode from a guest. We cut that up into tenths. We write 10 tweets about each episode. We put that up into social oomph. We randomize it. So there's every 42 minutes, there's a new insight, a new tip, a new strategy, a new something from these amazing, awesome people from, you know, every single day. Look, we're sharing tips, you know, similar to how we're doing that on LinkedIn. So that's what we're doing kind of like socially. And then via email, we've got 21,000 email subscribers now. And so every Friday we take a featured episode from that week. And then we feature that, you know, via email. And so we send that out. And occasionally, you know, sometimes it's not that consistent, but then we create a special something that's just for our guests. You know, like a special guide to generating leads on LinkedIn, or You know, if you're a guest on other podcasts, this might be how you want to market that. And then we send out that piece of love, if you will, and we make it just for our guests, nobody else, not the broader list, and it just goes to them. It might be a search engine optimization guide or something. So, and this is something we continue to try and get better at, right? I mean, I know there's better and deeper ways that we can add value to our community, and we'll get better in that way.
Oh, that's great. And I love that I've been calling this the reduce, reuse, recycle of a strategy to content, and that you're kind of recycling, upcycling by you've got your solo cast and you're writing it out as a LinkedIn pulse, and you're taking the guest casts and you're crafting, you have your show notes page and you're creating tweets. And so you're kind of repurposing all the content that you're creating. And then you're reusing it, you know, and you're kind of pushing that information out there multiple times. And at the end of the day, you're reducing your time investment, but you still have a really high impact while you're nurturing your network. And that's just fantastic.
Yeah. And, you know, I think there's a misconception either among business owners and or podcasters thinking, oh, well, geez, I have to create something new every single day. And, you know, when the reality is that, like, you know, when I needed to write, you know, my publisher came to me and said, hey, I know that you're almost done with the book, but is it going to include a section on sponsorships? And I nearly like puked in a bucket because sponsorships at that point were something that I didn't know much about. And I'm like, yes, of course it's going to. And so I'm like, oh my gosh, what do I do? And so my agent, you know, Wendy Keller, stepped in and said, okay, don't panic, don't freak out. Exactly who you need to talk to. Her name is Linda Hollander, and she's like the who's who in getting large corporate sponsorships. I'm like, oh, okay, awesome. So she connected me with Linda. I interviewed Linda, and we turned that into an Onward Nation episode. But then I transcribed it. Well, Rev did. Rev.com transcribed it. Transcription. I turned it into then chapter 16 of the book, which is all of, you know, Linda's wisdom, not mine. It's all of her wisdom. It became chapter 16 of the book. So it was an episode for Onward Nation. It became chapter 16 of the book. And then I actually took that episode and then reformatted it, added in some of my insights and so forth, and turned it into a solo cast, which became episode 460. And then it was just me. And then it became all about sort of teaching, and it became curriculum form. And it was awesome. So like one interview turned into a book chapter and two, you know, episodes of Onward Nation. That's great leverage.
I love seeing business owners that really can understand that one, you know, piece of content isn't dead once it's published. There's a lot of legs built with that.
Right.
So, Stephen, what advice would you offer the business professional who's looking to grow their network?
Well, of course, you know, start a podcast like you and I were talking about before, right? I would certainly suggest that they do that. I don't care what industry somebody is in. I don't care the size of their personal, you know, network when they start. Just start. And not starting is because they're, you know, afraid. And hey, you know, I mean, fear's just kind of, I mean, it's part of being a business. I get it. Every single day, we as business owners have to push back the fear of something. I get that. But recognizing that you need to do something bold in order to, like, if you don't currently like where your business is at right now, it's not the fault of customers or employees or, you know, your person, or, you know, that you wish you came from a better family. It has nothing to do with any of that. It has absolutely everything to do with your inability to push yourself beyond the point of fear in doing something that is uncomfortable. It is a law of this universe. If you are going to grow, then you can better believe that it's going to take you doing something that you're uncomfortable in doing. So whether that is creating a podcast, whether that is becoming, you know, the president of certain volunteer or civic organizations throughout your community to build your network that way, or to go and volunteer your time to teach a class at your local university, you know, in some other manner and getting plugged into your local community or regional community, knocking on the door to your, you know, local small business development center and saying, hey, I want to teach a class to area professionals about such and such a topic, doing that, or getting involved with the chamber. And because you want to teach and you want to be an ambassador, you want to do a something, you want to grow your network, then teach webinars and build your list through webinars and offering up your curriculum and doing like what Jay Bear said in episode 3 on We're Nation, give away your best stuff for free, right? So if you want to grow your network, go to the community with the heart of, I'm going to give my best stuff away. I'm going to have the attitude of service, and I'm going to give, and then push past the fear, and your network will explode.
There's something about that word fear, isn't there?
Amen. And that's exactly why Napoleon Hill, back in, you know, 1937, when he wrote the book Think to Grow Rich, there's a reason why it sold 70 million copies worldwide. It's because it deals squarely with fear, the fear of criticism, which paralyzes most people. Well, I don't want to have a podcast because, you know, maybe I'm not going to be any good and Lori's going to listen to it and she's going to hit me up on Twitter and make fun of me. Well, first of all, you would never do that.
I would never do that.
Right. You would never do that. But, you know, unfortunately, yeah, okay, there are some social media trolls. Yeah. And you know what? Sometimes somebody's going to do that. Okay. So are you going to live small because some person who you don't even know might write a rude tweet, right? So fear of criticism, you know, paralyzes most people, when the secret to being successful is just realizing that fear doesn't exist. It's all in your mind. So who cares if some troll hits you up on Twitter? Big deal. Move on. It doesn't have anything to do with the growth or trajectory of your life or business.
I love that. So the secret to success is realizing that fear doesn't exist. That's strong.
I have on my office wall, I have a quote that my cousin said to me almost 2 decades ago when he and I owned a business together. And the quote is, and I thought it was masterful when he said it, back, you know, like I said, a couple decades ago, I quickly wrote it down. I'm like, oh my gosh, that is brilliant, Dean. And the words are this: fear and procrastination are the enemies of success. Are no truer words ever said. You know, the fear and the procrastination that can come from that sometimes. And it's ridiculous because it is between your own ears where that comes from. And so if you recognize that, and that you're not going to fall victim to it, and you're going to be the courageous, awesome, wonderful, beautiful, super blessed person that God puts you on this planet to be, then who in the world is going to stop you?
Yeah. But, I mean, really, it's your own barrier to your own success, right? That's really what it comes down to.
Yep.
All right. So I'm going to move forward here. You've talked a lot about digital networking, digital activities, nurturing things from a digital standpoint. And you kind of lightly touched on traditional with regards to like getting involved in the community, attending chambers and whatnot. I'm really curious, which one do you find more value in?
Are we talking about like which one more value as far as like online or like digital or offline, more traditional?
Correct.
Well, I'm biased and I've done both. You know, when I used to be part of the University of Wisconsin, here in the state of Wisconsin, I was very, very active in what we are now just kind of defining as sort of traditional offline stuff. I was very active in boards. I was very active in, you know, regional economic development. I was very sort of in the tri-state area in Southwest Wisconsin. And that was fantastic. And my job also required it, right? And so I was involved in outreach on behalf of the university. And so I love to do it, but I kind of had to do it, right? That was my role within the university, but I also loved it too. And so then my network, my sphere of influence within the tri-state area and throughout the state of Wisconsin grew as a result of that. And so it was very appropriate for me to do that type of function. So why I was very invested in that. And so now as I run predictive ROI, you know, the podcast and, you know, trainings and hanging out with, you know, Darren Hardy and other thought leaders and so forth, that is very appropriate for where my business is today. So what I would suggest to your listeners is, okay, well, what would help accelerate your business? Are your customers from, you know, a local community, a regional community, like a tri-state area? Do you do business across the United States, perhaps internationally? And then devising a plan that essentially accelerates that or accentuates that. That's the better word, accentuates that. So really it has to do with what your business is, who you are here to serve, and then letting that drive the networking strategy.
I like that. I don't think it's been broken down that way with any of our guests as far as, again, going back to money draining mistake number one, right? What are your goals? and looking at, based on what your goals are, what are the actions that are necessary in order to obtain them?
Right, exactly.
Well stated, Stephen. Thank you.
Oh, thanks.
Okay, so if you could go back to your 20-year-old self, what would you tell yourself to do more of, less of, or differently with regards to your professional career?
Oh, that's fascinating. I don't think anybody's ever asked me that before. Okay, so back to my 20-year self. So when I was 20 years old, I was an airman, first class in the United States Air Force. And my day-to-day job was I went out to nuclear missile silos in the prairies of South Dakota, and I worked on basically systems that kept the missiles and the silos at full power, and I kept nuclear bombs cold. And so, as you might imagine, most days were 100% pure adrenaline, and I really, really loved it. And what I loved about it was fixing stuff. I loved the systems. I loved troubleshooting. And what I think would be great was, if I could give a message to my 20-year-old self would be, hey, all of this troubleshooting, all of the systematizing, all of the process, all of the flow that you're learning is at some point going to ignite and spark your entrepreneurial DNA, and you're going to understand how things fit and how business problems need to be solved and how different components need to be put into business systems and making, you know, things more efficient and solving problems and driving revenue and how to keep your cool in a crisis and how, you know what, on your worst day, you ran into a missile silo that you thought was on fire and you thought we were going to die. And you know what, if you could do that, imagine what you're going to do when you're 45 or running a business and not much is going to faze you. So enjoy the experience when you're 20 and all of these things that you're learning are going to be freaking awesome when you're 45, which I am now.
Well, first off, thank you so much for your service to our country. And second, I think the message there is that you may not be aware of it, but the actions that you're taking, you know, when you're 20 years old are going to be influential in your, you know, 45th year and whatnot. Okay.
Amen. Absolutely. It is all just a that all flows together.
Absolutely. All right. So I think you ask a similar question, or maybe you don't. I need a refresher here, but I'm going to ask you this. So we've all heard of the 6 degrees of separation. Now, who would be the one person you'd love to connect with? And do you think you could do it within the 6th degree?
Let's see. All 6 of the sharks from Shark Tank. And as far as degrees, yes, because I've already interviewed one, but I want to view all of the remaining 6 so that at Onward Nation, we can have our own like Shark Week this summer. So
oh, that's awesome. I love it. That's fantastic.
So, but yes. And since I've already interviewed Kevin Harrington, one of the original sharks from Shark Tank. Yes, the degrees of separation are already there.
Oh, well, that's, wow. I cannot wait for that. That'll be a great conversation. And I love how you're playing off of Shark Week. I think that's some newsworthy, like some press release opportunities right there, right?
Yeah, that could be cool. Yeah.
All right. So I know that you love to read and learn as much as I do. So I'm always curious, what book are my guests reading at this time?
Well, I'm kind of reading three or four at the same time. But so our business is going through the EOS or Entrepreneur Operating System process right now.
Okay.
And so Traction, you know, the book by Gino Wickman is sort of like in the forefront of what I'm studying at the moment. And then I just finished reading for studying for either the second or the third time, The E-Myth by Michael Gerber, and we're figuring out a way to actually blend EOS and E-Myth together into something really cool and unique and different. Yeah, for us. And then my favorite leadership book right now is Extreme Ownership, which is just fantastic. And then lastly, just for fun, I'm totally in love with the Harry Potter series.
Yes!
I know that you love it too. It's just awesome. It's awesome.
Oh, which one are you on right now?
So I'm on book four, and I've been through all the way through the first, you know, like movie 7.1.
Yeah.
I haven't seen the second seven or the second part, but book wise, I'm going through book number four right now, which is The Goblet of Fire.
Mm-hmm. I just finished that one. I got to start on five. Oh,
so
that's
awesome.
So fun. Yeah. And I've read Traction and E-Myth, and those are both great. Extreme Ownership, I purchased the book. I have not read it yet. But yeah, those are all fantastic books. So we're very like-minded in the type of materials we like to read.
Amen.
All right, Stephen, any final word or advice to offer our listeners with regards to growing and supporting your network?
Yeah, I think that to go back to the piece that we were chatting about before, and in recognizing that you truly are in control of your own destiny. You have everything at your fingertips through either the greatest resources of education, knowledge, and so forth because of the information age. And if you're not at where it is that you want to be right now, it's nobody's fault. It's yours. You need to actually define where it is that you want to go, and then find the right resources. And I don't disagree that some people are more naturally gifted and have greater intelligence and, you know, born with, you know, more financial resources than somebody else. But you know what? My grandfather grew up in Istanbul, Turkey, and came here in 1920 when he escaped, you know, ethnic cleansing in Turkey. My great-grandfather was murdered when my grandfather was 8 years old. Why? Because it was publicly okay to kill Greek males in Turkish squares. That was at a time when being a Greek male in Turkey was not so awesome. Right. And so my grandfather became the man of the household at the ripe old age of eight. And he did it with a smile on his face. And he came to this country when he was 18 with $10 in his pocket, couldn't speak the language, and knew nobody. You want to talk about no network? He knew nobody. And he worked in a downtown Canton, Ohio restaurant, cutting lettuce, washing dishes for 6 years. And 6 years later, after coming to a brand new country with no network and no money, he bought his own restaurant. You want to talk about grit and persistence and tenacity. Do some people, do they have, you know, bad luck and, you know, incurable situations or health problems? Of course. But there are so many people who are able-bodied and would rather watch 40 hours of television a week than go take a course or study something. So if you're not where you want to be, then you need to take a hard look at the person in the mirror and understand that you can do it if you choose to. And that is really the main decision. Do I choose to do it, or do I want to live the rest of my life in fear?
That's fantastic. Do I choose to do it or do I want to live the rest of my life in fear? Which hopefully everyone's taken the step forward to make it happen. Follow your heart. Great. Amen. Great stuff. And thanks so much for sharing that story about your grandfather. It's very, very, you're right. Grit and persistence, tenacity. I mean, you just working hard until you get to that point where you're willing to take the next step. And obviously that entrepreneurial spirit fell through and carried, you know, through the bloodline and you're living it and living that dream right now too.
Well, and I know that we're running a little bit long here, but I'll mention this just one last thing. Looking at his picture right now on the one of the walls in my office, and it's a photo of him standing behind a lunch counter at his first restaurant called The Ideal in downtown Canton. And this photo is from 1907, 2 years before the Great Depression. There's four gentlemen in suits and sitting at the lunch counter, and my grandfather standing behind the counter looking at the camera. He gave away more soup than he ever sold, and it was about grit, persistence, and tenacity. He married an amazing woman, my grandmother, had four great kids along the way. Of course, I'm biased, and my aunts and uncles and my mom. Mm-hmm. But through it all, he never gave up, and he invested 42 years of his life in building a great career and was devoted to family. So when there are days when I'm so tired and I've worked for 20 hours straight, literally, and I feel like, oh, I'm just exhausted, that picture, and I see my pop standing behind the counter, I'm like, you know what? If he could come to this country and not know anybody, and 6 years later own a restaurant, I can send one more email before I go to bed.
Very true. Very true. Pushing yourself one step further every time. I love it.
Yep.
All right, Stephen. So if anyone was interested in getting in contact with you, what's the best way they can reach you?
Well, they can find me at onwardnation.com. That's our podcast. You find me at predictiveroi.com. That's our agency. You find me all over social, but onwardnation.com or predictiveroi.com are probably the best places to start.
All right. And we will include those links in the show notes. Stephen, thanks so much for being on the show.
You're welcome. Thank you very much for the invitation. I really appreciate the questions. Fun conversation. So it was just a delight to be with you here today, with you and your audience, Lori. Thank you very much.
Thank you. You had lots of great content to share, and I'm sure all of our listeners appreciate it. This wraps up our episode of Social Capital. A huge thank you to Stephen for taking the time to connect with us. Join us next week for another great guest as we continue the conversation on networking and building your community. If you need me, send an email to Lori@socialcapitalpodcast.com. Otherwise, we'll see you next week.
That's all for this episode of the Social Capital Podcast. Be sure to visit socialcapitalpodcast.com for show notes, more episodes, and to check out our free ebooks on business and networking.